You know, I've always had trouble with the whole, I always never wanted to age. You know, I like Neverland, and, you know, growing up, it's like I'm just a kid at heart still and just super excited about life. And I just wanted to be that way. And so CrossFit has kind of given me a second wind, because it's like, wow, you know, it's like I can still do things at age 60 that keep me young and give me goals and competition. And so it's kind of like, it's eased the pain of aging.
This is episode number 89 with Dave Hippensteel. This episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. ButcherBox delivers 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage breed pork directly to your doorstep. Now, I think meat can have a place in a well-rounded diet, but there is a huge, huge difference when it comes to animals raised in feedlots that are fed primarily corn and soy and routinely given growth hormones and antibiotics, and those that are responsibly raised, fed their natural diet, and never given growth hormones or antibiotics. ButcherBox gives me some peace of mind, knowing that I can trust my meat is the highest quality out there and that it will taste amazing. They allow you to order curated or custom boxes of meat, and they always come with recipe ideas for you to explore. My husband Danny and I are super excited about firing up our backyard grill this summer to enjoy our ButcherBox selections with tons of vegetables from our local CSA. And you can join us. ButcherBox is extending an awesome offer to you for listening to Pursuing Health. Just head to butcherbox.com/Julie for $20 off your order, plus a free order of their delicious bacon. Again, that's butcherbox.com/Julie. Hope you can check it out and that it makes your life a little bit easier, just as it has done for us. This episode is brought to you by MobilityWOD. Do you struggle to get into good positions in your training and workouts? Are you looking for a structured routine to help you relax, down-regulate, and recover on a regular basis? Well, then MobilityWOD may be just what you're looking for. MobilityWOD is the world's most comprehensive collection of guided movement, mechanics, and mobility instructional videos designed to improve athletic performance, increase mobility and flexibility, prevent injury, resolve pain, and optimize recovery. Each routine is guided by renowned physical therapist, strength and conditioning coach, and New York Times bestselling author, Dr. Kelly Starrett. I first took Kelly's movement and mobility course in 2013, and since then I've read his books and followed his videos for ideas on how to address my own movement restrictions. Sometimes, though, having all of this information can become overwhelming, which is why I think the real genius is in the MWOD subscription. As part of this subscription, you have access to not only hundreds of hours of video content that can be filtered based on your specific questions, but also two daily 8 to 15 minute guided routines called Perform and Recover. The Perform routines are designed to be done in the gym either before or after your workout, and these focus on position, mechanics, mobility, and motor control techniques to help you optimize your athletic performance and prevent injury. This practice requires tools you would generally find in the gym, like jump stretch bands, lacrosse balls, barbells, and kettlebells. Now, the recover routines are some of my favorites, and these are designed to be accomplished at home. They focus on mobility and soft tissue work, down-regulating the nervous system, resolving pain, and general relaxation. This practice only requires a foam roller, a lacrosse ball, and a mat or your carpet, things that you would find at home. I often do these sessions as a way to wind down from a long day and help myself relax. MobilityWOD is used by the world's top athletes in the NBA, NFL, NHL, MLB, UFC, Premier Soccer League, pro rugby, weightlifting, running, CrossFit, obstacle course racing, and all branches of the military. It's also the go-to mobility programming for coaches, physical therapists, and recreational athletes who want to learn proven strategies to optimize athletic performance, prevent injury, and enhance recovery. Now you can join the thousands of other individuals who incorporate MobilityWOD into their daily workout routine. It's easy to become part of the MWOD community, but because you're a Pursuing Health listener, you can receive 20% off an annual membership with code Julie Fouché. Just visit MobilityWOD.com to learn more. Once again, that's MobilityWOD.com, MobilityWOD.com, and you can use code Julie Fouché for 20% off your annual membership. Welcome to Pursuing Health. I'm Julie Fouché, family medicine resident and former CrossFit Games athlete. Here, I bring to you information and inspiration from experts and everyday individuals for how to use lifestyle to maximize health. Thank you so much for joining me. Now let's get started with this week's episode. Well, hello there, everyone. Welcome back to Pursuing Health. This is a very fun episode that features a conversation I got to have with Dave Hippensteel, who has been named the fittest 60-plus-year-old male in the CrossFit Games for the past 2 years in a row. This is the oldest age category in the CrossFit Games Masters competition, and Dave is a shining example of defying the expectations that our mainstream culture has about aging. And I think you'll learn a lot from this conversation, just like I did. A little bit about Dave before we get started. He's been competing in the CrossFit Games since 2013 when he won the Open in the 55 to 59 division. And this year he'll make his sixth trip to the CrossFit Games as he's poised to defend his title in the 60 plus category for the third year in a row. Dave was an athlete from a young age, pursuing a variety of sports from football to track and field, motocross, and triathlons. He's also a proud father of four, and Dave's love of fitness has also rubbed off on his children. In fact, it was his daughter, Heather, who's a CrossFit Games athlete in her own right, having competed for the CrossFit Invictus team, who introduced Dave to CrossFit. In addition to the training as a world-class athlete, Dave just so happens to also be a full-time dentist who's currently running two practices, so you can imagine that he brings a very unique perspective on discipline and balance. We sat down to talk about his background, how his training as a master's athlete differs from that of his younger competitors, what Dave is doing to protect his health and longevity in the sport, and what advice he has for his peers seeking lifelong health. I think you'll enjoy it. A few quick reminders before we get started. First, this episode is brought to you by CrossFit Beyond the Whiteboard, the best workout tracking in the biz and the one I've been using since 2009. Learn more at btwb.com. If you're enjoying the podcast, please head over to iTunes to subscribe and consider giving it a rating. I'm also always looking for inspiring stories to share. So if you or someone you know has used lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send your story to me at info@juliefouché.com and I'll select some to share here on future episodes. Finally, please remember that although I am now officially a doctor, this podcast is meant to share the experiences of individuals and does not provide medical advice. So with that, let's get started with episode number 89 of Pursuing Health featuring Dave Hippensteel. So I'm really excited to be here today with Dave Hippensteel. And you are officially the fittest 60 and over year old male in the world.
Yes.
Undisputed, two years in a row.
2 years in a row.
Which is pretty darn amazing.
Thank you.
So thank you for joining me. I'm glad to be in your presence.
Oh my gosh. It's just awesome. It's a dream. I'm super excited to be here. Really.
Awesome. Yep. Well, so knowing that, I have a lot of questions.
Sure.
Yeah. But starting off, I guess I would like to know what you did prior to age 60 that got you to that point.
Yeah, that's a great question. I was looking at, because I just did, we were on that cruise, and I did a lecture, and I talked about my history, and I did, I broke it up into decades.
Okay. And like, and tell us, what was the cruise for people listening?
So the cruise, my son is like a model, like an international model.
Okay.
And he travels all over the world.
Okay.
And he happened to meet somebody in Germany who's director for the Hapag-Lloyd Cruises.
Wow.
Cruise line, which is a high-end German cruise line. And he was a fitness instructor for them like 2 years ago.
Okay.
And then they found out about me and that I won the CrossFit Games stuff. And she asked him if I could go on along the next one too.
Oh, cool.
And so, yeah, so we went to Dubai.
Wow.
They flew us to Dubai. And then we went... They went around up the Red Sea, up through the Suez Canal to Cyprus.
Okay.
And I was a fitness instructor on that.
And this is like just a regular cruise tourist going to see.
Yes. Yes. And regular cruise. But they wanted to, they bring guests on.
Okay.
So there was like a string quartet there, and there was, you know, a dance troupe, and then there were other fitness trainers on there, There was a yoga person. Mm-hmm. So they just kind of provide all those services for people.
What a cool experience.
It was really awesome. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So we just finished that, and I kind of outlined things like I did in high school, I did football and track. Mm-hmm. Before that was probably baseball and golf.
Okay.
And then when I got to college, I did decathlon.
Oh.
So I did that for a year. Pole vault was my favorite event.
Oh, that's great. I love pole vault.
Yeah, I hadn't done it. I only did it a year, and I got like a up to 14 foot my first year, like within like almost 6 months.
That's amazing.
So yeah, my brother and I did that actually. He was out there first. He was really focused on doing decathlon, mm-hmm. wanting to make the Olympic team, all that stuff, and just super dedicated. So he kind of coached me when I went out there, talked me into coming out in the first place and stuff. And so we ended up doing that. So that's what I did in my 20s. And in my 30s, I graduated dental school.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, what am I going to do now, you know, to stay fit? Because mm-hmm. dental school, you know what it's like.
Right.
You're in school, you're focused on that. I did very a little strict bit of stuff mm-hmm. during dental school to kind of stay fit, but mm-hmm. you lose it. Mm-hmm. So I did triathlons.
Okay.
I thought that's because I didn't want to just do running.
Right.
Running's too much, too just one dimensional for me. Mm-hmm. I had to break it up. So that's
why we have a lot of similarities.
That's why CrossFit was like, oh my gosh, we can do all this stuff. This is great. Yeah. So I did triathlon then, and then in my 40s, I was going through a time at the office. Like I owned a dental office, mm-hmm. very stressful.
Yeah.
And just normal stress. And I needed a break from that.
Okay.
And triathlons were good, but it wasn't enough for some reason. So I got into dirt bike racing.
Wow.
And so I started
didn't see
doing
that coming.
Yeah, like one day I got out of my dirt bike and I was just doing these small little jumps. Mm-hmm. And I did it for like an hour and a half. And it's like at the end of that hour and a half session, I felt so much pressure relief mm-hmm. that it's like I just kept building bigger jumps.
Yeah.
And then I got to racing.
Wow.
And it was just because you get in this zone and you forget about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you come out of that, you're completely refreshed. It's
so
amazing.
It's like your meditation. Your
Yeah, it really was. Yeah.
Wow.
So I did that in my 40s, and then the 50s came along, and my daughter Heather, she introduced me to CrossFit, like 2011, 2012, right around there. And so I started CrossFit in my 50s.
Wow.
And it's continued.
That's fascinating.
So, yeah. So.
And so interesting to see how diverse your athletic background is, and kind of raising that question now as we think about younger athletes starting CrossFit younger and younger.
Yeah.
You know, what is the optimal amount of time to be spending doing different sports versus starting in CrossFit?
Yeah, and like staying in CrossFit.
Right.
And how do you diversify out of that? And mm-hmm. it's a great question.
That's very interesting.
We're going to be able to see. It's amazing what the teens are doing.
Yeah.
But
do you still do any dirt bike racing?
Not much. I still have. I actually just sold my dirt bike like last year or 2 years ago, something like that.
Okay.
I hung on to it for a long time, but I didn't get out on it very much. I still love it. That's still a passion.
That's really cool.
I'm waiting to see that in the games.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it helped you even last year. Well, didn't have the biking in the games last year, did you?
No, we didn't have the mountain biking. No.
I'm sure at some point they'll have a biking event.
Maybe this year,
Masters.
You know.
You never know.
Maybe paddleboarding.
Especially in Madison with it being such a biking city.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sure that'll help you.
Yeah, for sure.
It's crazy how those experiences from your past come back to help you at the odd events that you see at the games.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just can't prepare for them. You can think of everything, but luckily you have this one experience, you know, years ago, and it comes back to help you in some way.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Like the triathlon. Mm-hmm. I mean, who would have thought? There we were.
Right.
Mile and a half run, 700 meter, it was supposed to be 500, but I think it was 700. Everybody's saying it was like 700 meters and another mile and a half run. It was awesome.
Just like the old days.
Yeah, for sure.
That's great.
It was a great test.
So you said that your daughter Heather introduced you to CrossFit.
Uh-huh.
And so for those who are listening who don't know, she competed on Invictus's team mm-hmm. for 4 years.
4 years, yep.
And so when she told you about it, what were your first reactions? And then how did it go from there? Were you in the gym the next day, or how did it progress?
She was a diver at USD, University of San Diego. And then I think it's Stefan was there, and then a guy named Matt, and they were kind of into CrossFit, kind of introducing CrossFit into the campus.
Okay.
And so that's how she kind of got into it.
Got
they
it.
Were doing that as part of their cross training for
oh,
their
that's
diving.
Great.
And so she was telling me about it, and I'm like, very intrigued, because I love pull-ups. I've always, you know, we always had, like, growing up, our kids, we had pull-up bars in every room, almost every room, you know, doorways. So, you know, they were required. Like, I remember Troy had to do 20 pull-ups for something, and, and you know, he was, I don't know, 12 or 13 years old, and he got it. But,
Awesome.
Yeah, so she was telling me about it, and then she went to, she had an internship at Edison Electric in near in Long Beach, I think, that area. And she ended up at a CrossFit gym there, and she kept telling me about it, telling me about it. So I finally went up to visit her, because I try and do that with wherever the kids were. I try and visit them at least a couple times a year. And went out, and it was all planned. I was going to do a workout, and they actually named the workout Heather. And so I got to do my first CrossFit workout was Heather.
How cool.
And I forget
is that?
Exactly what it was, but they had pull-ups and some running and I think some kettlebells, stuff like that. But it was my first kind of introduction. I had kind of, there was a local CrossFit gym, and I think I might have gone maybe one time. But after that workout, I came back and started doing CrossFit at this gym. And that was just kind of like, I got hooked. Because I was racing triathlons. And I go to this CrossFit gym, and it's like this, the, whatever the workout was, I was on the floor after, like, I don't know, 6 minutes or whatever. And it's like, there is, and the revelation came, it's like, there is another level of fitness that I have not experienced yet. And I want that. So
that's so amazing. That's so kinda true. It's such a contrast, the intensity from a longer event.
That's
so interesting.
And so...
So you joined, was it an affiliate?
Yeah, it's an affiliate, CrossFit Soulified. So I joined them. Great owner. The owners back then, I'm actually at, back at that gym now. I started my own gym kind of in between, but I'm back at CrossFit Soulified now, which is kind of a neat transition.
That's great.
An experience. But the owners, Nicole and Cole Spitzak, they moved to Austin, Texas now. He was military and she was there and she ran the gym, and just awesome, awesome people. And just were great way for me to get introduced to CrossFit. Super encouraging. And so it's a great experience.
That's awesome.
And so
Now, at what point do you decide, hey, I want to start competing. I want to make this a sport.
So, yeah, great question. So, and I was trying to think about the timeline, but I remember specifically 2012, I kind of stumbled through the open because I was at that gym. So I must have started around 2011. So, but I was at that gym, and I remember also, like, training, and the, all of a sudden this thing called the open comes up. It's like, okay, what's that?
What is this?
Yeah, so 2012... I kind of stumbled through the open. I couldn't do double unders because I had never tried them before. And so I stumbled through the open, but I steadily improved every single workout. Especially like the last one, it was pull-ups with something else. And that was my best score, you know, comparatively worldwide, you know, because I was, you know, I was watching the leaderboard, obviously, you know, you're putting your name in it immediately. And it's like, oh my gosh, my name's there. And so, after that, so after that last event, I said, I can do this. I want to make the top 20, hopefully, next year. So I am going to work super hard and just see if I can do this.
So it was really just seeing the leaderboard and saying, hey, maybe I can do this and setting a goal.
And I had pretty good, I had really good support. I was training with all arm, like, so I live in Clarksville now, from Pennsylvania originally. In Tennessee, Clarksville, Tennessee. And so Fort Campbell Army Base there, it's the 101st group, 5th group. So a lot of great athletes that are there. And so I would train with all these Army guys. And it was like 20-year-olds.
That's awesome.
And it was just like, it was phenomenal for me to be, and an honor to be with these Army guys, because I just love the military, and, I'm super supportive of, of what they're doing, because they're serving our country and they deserve every respect. But it's just, it was really cool. And they were kind of excited that I was around, and cause they'd see me improving. And, and so we were just, I mean, it was just the way it was. And,
That's so fun.
The whole summer we're training, and I was actually racing triathlons still then. And so I started winning my age group in triathlons, because of CrossFit influence. Cause it kind of took me to that next level. So that was 2012, the summer, and then, the fall, I get introduced to, I go out to visit Heather. Mm-hmm. And so her story is pretty cool too. So I don't want to get too sidetracked, but yeah. I'll try and stay on track here.
No,
but,
let's hear it.
She graduated from USD. She graduated in accounting degree. And she's looking at CrossFit gyms because she's like, she's doing pretty, you know, she's liking it.
Yeah.
She thought, I think I'll join a CrossFit gym. So she goes to this one and this guy named Cody Bergner's there. It's like, oh, Bergner, I've heard of them. Mike Bergner's the guy, you know, his dad.
Yeah.
It's like, why don't you check out that gym? You know, didn't know CJ, didn't know anything. And so she goes to that gym and about after 2 months, they ask her to be on the competition team, training team.
Okay.
Not the team, but the competition group that was training. And then about 2 months later, the open comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's doing the open. And then by the end of the open, they say, hey, why don't you be an alternate on the team? And then once the workouts came out, they were really gymnastic oriented.
Okay.
So they asked her to be on the team, like officially. And so in like 6 months,
it
she goes from,
so
yeah.
Quick.
But in the meantime, I went out there in November of, I think it was 2012, met CJ, met Tino and Nicole and all those great people out there. Mm-hmm. And I just started, you know, just hanging around. And it was, like, it was a thrill to me to like be training with her because they were just at open door. They were super accommodative. And Lauren Fisher was there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just had a blast. I mean, for me, it was just a blast, like training with these people. And I was very observant and very intent in my conversations with CJ and then especially Tino, just amazing coach, just like CJ, amazing, super smart and super intuitive. But I just kind of paid attention to Tino and I felt like I got the gist of what he was saying, how strength takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good time to focus on strength. And that kind of stuck with me.
Okay.
And so I went home and I started doing these, it was way over my head, but I started doing the Invictus competition workouts.
Okay.
And I would, you know, I'd look at the weight, the RX weight, and this is like, I would try and do it. And it's like, it was ridiculous that I was doing this, but I could get through the workouts.
Mm-hmm.
My wrists were in pain every night.
Okay.
My shoulders were in pain, but it's like, but I went through that kind of like transition phase where metabolic adaptation was happening. And I wasn't getting injured enough to stop, just achy and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it really got me ready for the 2013 Open because I was just super, super committed to really wanted to do well, really wanted to make that top 20.
Yeah.
And so the first workout comes along and it was snatch and burpees.
Okay.
And
I remember that.
Yeah, it was a great workout. And I actually win the workout. I was tied for first.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow. And I had just opened my gym. Like, so I was at Soulified and the owners were super awesome. They had Rich Froning come to their grand opening, who's another great, amazing guy.
Right.
Super, super open. And he invited me to his gym anytime. Like, you know, but this was back then in 2012.
Right.
But within 4 months that gym had grown from like 150 to 500.
Wow.
And so in January, they asked people, like, if anybody's interested in opening another gym, we're going to help you. We're going to help grow your gym.
Amazing.
So, yeah, so that's, and so I ended up, it's like, I was in dentistry still, and I was doing it kind of a few days a week and helping out different offices and that kind of thing. And I don't know, it just seemed like the right time. And so my son, John, came home, and who was actually home at the time. He was in transition between his job and his work.
Mm-hmm.
And so he helped me open the gym and I had this beautiful 7,500 square foot gym.
Wow.
And it was right down the street from Soulified and they just helped me grow. And so that was a really good experience. But the dilemma was my whole trajectory kind of changed in that, you know, I win the first open and then I ended up winning the open that year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow, I'm going to the games. Like, this is amazing.
That's
like,
a big deal.
Yeah. It was really cool. You know, I get choked up even just thinking about it because it's just like a super, you know, just great experience.
Yeah, it's true. It's like your life changes.
Yeah,
your whole,
yeah.
You know, you have this different goal and you're now
different focus.
So much
time
But
still, you know, I think if I wouldn't have had that experience, I never would have known. I would have had in the back of my mind, you know, could I open a gym? Could I make a gym work? Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. But so I had open for like 4 years, but it's hard to make a living doing that. And I you know, I couldn't do that and dentistry at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of, over the years, I had some great coaches, mm-hmm. great managers mm-hmm. That helped with it. We had great focus and Soulified was great, instrumental in helping me get started and all mm-hmm. that stuff. But, you know, as the games continued to be more and more of a focus, it was hard to focus
to
on the gym.
Yeah.
And so I ended up transitioning out of that, sold that, and then transitioned back into dentistry
okay.
like 3 years ago, like full time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm working. So actually, it's interesting.
I'm very interested to know how how this has changed over the years with your training and your.
Yeah. Because since 2015, I bought two dental practices because it's like, I realized, okay, the gym thing, it's just not going to work for mm-hmm. me financially and just stress-wise, mm-hmm. training-wise. So I need to move on mm-hmm. and I need to get back to do what my hands were trained to do. Mm-hmm. And so there's always opportunities out there for an experienced dentist. Mm-hmm. And I ended up helping a guy I was just going to be temporary, mm-hmm. helping a guy while he has back injuries. It's a mm-hmm. common thing in dentistry to have back injuries and neck injuries. So I feel really fortunate. I've been doing it for 30 plus years and I'm fine. And I think the physical activity obviously is a great asset to keep you healthy. Mm-hmm. But I ended up helping him, and he ended up just never coming back. He never mm-hmm. got better. His back continued to, he had surgery. So I ended up buying that practice, and then another practice came out because I always wanted to, I love kids mm-hmm. practice. I wanted to be in a kid's practice for a while, and mm-hmm. another opportunity opened up. So I ended up buying two dental practices in 1 month, the May of 2015.
Wow.
It was ridiculous.
Going from a gym to two dental practices.
And I've already qualified for the games, and it was my last year in the 59 age group. And because this was, 2015, because I moved in 2016, I moved up to 60 plus, but I was the only 59-year-old to qualify for the 55-59 mm-hmm. age group. So that was exciting to me, you know, because I kind of look at those things. But buying two dental practices, and then I've been working 5 days a week mm-hmm. since 2015, since May of 2015.
Wow.
And then training for games, going to games, and that kind of thing.
That's incredible.
It's pretty crazy.
That's what I think is so incredible, because I've trained with a number of masters athletes, and mm-hmm. back in when I lived in Ann Arbor, particularly, like every day, and seeing how, you know, a lot of the younger athletes now, they make this their full-time job, and that's pretty much, you know, maybe they're coaching some classes, but they're already in the gym, or they have a part-time job. But for nearly all of the masters athletes, they're working another full-time job and training almost as much, I would say.
Yeah, it's a tough balance.
Really impressive. And they have families and other things, life things going on that a lot of these younger athletes haven't gotten to yet.
Yes. Yeah, I'm envious of the athletes that can do that. But the same way, it does help me balance things. I am fortunate. My kids are grown. Mm-hmm. My youngest just turned 21 last week.
Okay.
Troy, he's an amazing CrossFitter. He's got too preoccupied with school.
Uh-huh.
But
that's a good thing.
yeah, he is. Yeah, he's very dedicated. But balancing CrossFit, mm-hmm. I think, was the magic that got me through the stress of buying two practices mm-hmm. and transitioning both of them, because both of them were kind of, both of their, the docs were kind of injured mm-hmm. and so it affected their practice in a negative way.
Right.
And so it was, I came along and I had to turn things around mm-hmm. and I was able to do that in both practices to a large extent. But the stress, being able to have a focus on the games, mm-hmm. being able to have that training on a regular basis, just really helped me deal with that stress in a super healthy way.
Mm.
And I guess that's kind of, you know, the biggest takeaway from mm-hmm. CrossFit and fitness in general is that it's a super healthy way to deal with stress and mm-hmm. any other things that that we deal with as humans, you know. And life is tough.
It's an amazing outlet.
Yeah,
that's
it
for
is.
Sure. I know no matter what, when I go into the gym, no matter what kind of day I had, when I come out, I'm going to be feeling 10 times better.
Yeah, it's amazing how that works. Yeah, for sure.
It's a beautiful thing. But it is true, I think, when you have that stress and pressure of competing or, you know, preparing for the games, mm-hmm. it also does add more stress to it, which is, you have to manage that as well.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah, especially being at the games. I mean, I've noticed that it's not just like the first 3 years. it's kind of like, wow, you know, the first year is like, this is amazing. And, but you know, managing your sleep at, you know, just as simple as your sleep at night.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, how do you deal with that? How do you just turn it off?
Mm-hmm.
And it took me 3 years to figure that out. And yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, just looking back and seeing some of those tough times, and being able to work through that.
Yeah.
And then realizing at the end of the day, and I keep reminding myself of this, because at the end of the day, it's about being in the best shape of your life. It's about longevity. It's about being healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And competing is awesome, and I love it. I'm super competitive.
Mm-hmm.
But during those times when you're at the games and you've got to turn it off, you've got to use that information. You got to tell yourself and remind yourself, it's really all about longevity. It's about health, and it's about, you know, serving other people. It's about having a greater purpose than just the competition. And that's been kind of cool, like the last 2 years,
just being able to focus on that.
Yeah. It makes me choked up, but you know, for people to see me as an inspiration to that they can do this at a later age, is just like, it just
warms
my
heart. It's so powerful.
Yeah.
It's so powerful. And I think it's true. That's what keeps you going and what keeps you able to do it when it's hard and, you know, it's not always fun.
Yeah,
it's not always, you know, laughing and enjoying yourself. It's a lot of hard work and it's a lot of
work,
stress.
Yeah.
But for me, I found too, keeping that bigger purpose in mind made such a difference in my mindset day to day with training or, you know, trying to stay motivated or stay focused on that goal.
Yep, for sure. For sure. And, you know, and keeping, I mean, you know, I have a strong faith. I feel like God has a strong faith in me too. Cause you know, when my faith is weak and you know, he's strong and
love thinking about it that way. That's great.
Yeah. But that plays a big part, you know, having that perspective and having that eternal, part of things all understood and under control has just been a huge part for all of my life, I think.
Absolutely.
You know, raising a family, raising 4 kids, that kind of thing. So
Absolutely.
Helps keeps things in perspective. So
you mentioned kind of figuring out ways to unplug or to let yourself relax. Are there, other than kind of reminding yourself of your faith and your purpose, are there other things that you found have been helpful to help you kind of set that resting state?
You know, I think prayer is important. I mean, I think church obviously is important. You know, and more than church, I mean, I think the fellowship with, you know, relationships with other people is super important. In fact, I do studies, you know, because I think I mentioned to Patricia, you know, beginning stages of thinking about writing a book on fitness and longevity and the relationship. And when I'm looking at longevity, they're talking about one of the big things is, when they look at people in different countries, I forget what they call it, blue zones or something.
Yes,
but
I love the blue zones.
It's a big, there's a big aspect of that, or a big part of that is the relationships that people have with other people. And so I think that's super important.
I think it's so much more important than we even realize. I think
probably
even more important than a lot of these other things that we're worrying about, like sleep and eating and exercise.
Yeah, right. And I probably need to work on that more. Like, because I tend to be really focused on my training. And,
oh, yeah.
And so I'll train a lot by myself. But you got to have that community also.
Absolutely.
And you know.
And in different ways, whether it's your just making sure you have those few close relationships. I do agree. I think that quality is probably better than quantity when it comes to relationships.
Yes.
You know, having those people in your corner. It goes a long way.
I mean, having a wife, we're married Carol and I are married 35 years.
Wow.
35 years, actually this next week, I think it's the 25th.
Oh,
yeah, it's
happy
25th.
Anniversary.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. But yeah, she's super supportive and she does CrossFit. She was like not into the fitness thing so much, but she went to Soulify when I started going and it's like, she just fell in love with the girls and they fell in love with her.
Aw, that's so
And
great.
So she just would go and she wouldn't think about the fitness so much, but she would just love the social aspect of it. And it just like, it worked for her. And so
that's awesome.
She's still doing CrossFit.
That's
and so,
so
it's, and she's super supportive and, she does give me a lot of space. Like she knows that, I need to just move and and be active and that kind of thing. And she's very gracious about that. So
that's amazing.
It's cool. Yeah.
That's true. I think that it's underappreciated how much those people in your life do to get you to where you need to be. All these athletes that we see out there on the floor, but there's usually a significant other or family member or friend behind them that's doing just as much work.
So it's for sure. It's for sure. Yep.
You mentioned earlier about doing some training with Heather and with some of the other athletes. What is it like for you training with a bunch of athletes that are half your age? Do you notice it at all?
Just awesome. I do. I mean, because I've trained with some great athletes. Mm-hmm. And even going out to Invictus, training with, those are amazing athletes there. You know, obviously some of the best in the world. Rasmus has been out there. Lucas Esslinger from Switzerland, he was out there when I was training out there at times. I don't know. What's really cool is that even those guys, they've just been like super like open and welcoming and it's like, yep, it's Heather's dad. Right. Just like I'm one of the pack, and making me feel at home, that kind of thing. And then as far as like back in Clarksville, these Army guys, it's pretty much the same thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm part of the community, even though they're 30 years younger or whatever they are now. I can't, in the beginning, I think the first couple of years, I think I was probably overdoing it with the weights. Mm-hmm. And so, really sore a lot of the times. And I'm pretty sure now that I look back on these last 2 years, I'm pretty sure I was overtrained the first 3 years going to the games. And I think that affected my ability to perform better than what I did. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of learned from that, but wouldn't trade it.
A common theme. I think a lot of people when they first start, they want to be, they want to do everything RX. They want to train 6 days a week. Everyone wants more and more and more. Yeah. But then there gets to a point where you realize, hey, we're in this for the long haul. We need to be smarter about our training. Yeah. And
then you get to test it too. Okay, if I hold back a little bit, if I do rest, don't want to, but if I do, then what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. And then you get to test that. It's like, wow, I didn't lose that much strength. It was a great workout, the open workout, 18-2, where they threw in the max clean.
Oh, yes.
It's awesome. And it's like I hadn't done heavy for at least a month. Mm-hmm. And I still hit like 227 in that clean. Wow. And I was shocked that I could, because I was hoping like 217. I thought, I hope I can get 217. Yeah. And I'll be good. It's like I hit 217. It's like, wow. And then I hit 222. And then I put in 227 and I hit that. And it was I had a good support group that night. Also, one of the guys that runs the barbell club, Christian, and then Joe, another good friend, Army guys, super supportive, cheering me on.
That's
great.
Too.
Yeah, and I had another buddy too. Chase was doing the workout with me. Mm-hmm. And he's a 30-year-old and a great athlete. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
So how did your training evolve over the years? If you said you were doing the Invictus.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So that's a lot of, that's
yes.
a lot of training. It's not necessarily masters focused.
Yeah, right. Although they have a master's now. Yeah.
How did you evolve your training over the years as you learned from these experiences?
That's a great question. And I thought through that a lot because I think Invictus gave me a great, great foundation. I mean, just being able to get out, because I went out there for a few years. Heather was on the team for 4 years and I was actively training, obviously, at the time. And in fact, CJ and Tino, they coached me for my first games, 2013.
Okay.
And so it was a little difficult. I think it would have been much better if I could have just moved out there. They could have seen more of my weaknesses before I went in there.
That's the hard part, is getting that eyes on coaching.
Yeah, yeah. So, but still, just super appreciative of their involvement at the time. And that just really laid a great foundation. Because I continued to do Invictus for, I want to say, 2 years at least, maybe 3 years. And then I still continue to go back, like modifications of some of those workouts that I did back then. Mm-hmm. Into my programming now.
Okay.
And so, but I kind of, I did Chris Spieler a little bit.
Okay.
With Beyond the Whiteboard.
Yeah.
I think you're doing that.
Yeah.
Also the Beyond the Whiteboard. I did OPEX for a little bit. But in both cases, well, in OPEX, great programming. Mm-hmm. Awesome. For me, I'm not sure how I evolved from this. And I remember hearing Rich Froning one time saying, it's like, he'll go in, he won't even know what he's going to do. And he just does it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I find that I'm more of a spontaneous CrossFitter.
Okay.
And I started doing that cause I was with Chris Spieler like January, February, through that, online programming. And so I would do that. And so I could email him and he'd email back, and stuff. And so that was cool. But then the Open started, I think this was 2016. Mm-hmm. And I just decided, I do my own thing during the Open anyway. Mm-hmm. And cause it just has worked for me.
Okay.
And I have my strategy and my timing and I always do the workout Thursday night, like right after they announce. It's like,
gotta
why not? The adrenaline's flowing. You're going to think about it all night anyway, if you don't do it. So that's my routine and then I'll rest. So I did my own thing during the Open. It's like after the Open, I get ready for the qualifier. Actually, a good friend of mine, Del LaFountain, who's another Masters guy, he made it to the games this year, so I get to see him again this year.
Oh, cool.
Great guy. Because I met him first, one of the first Masters I met. We became friends back in 2013. Mm-hmm. And anyway, he actually helped me program for the qualifier in 2016.
Okay.
So that was good stuff. He introduced me to some things that I hadn't thought through, and he's a great coach as well. But then after that, I kind of like phased back into like, I know what I need. I know kind of the timing that I need to do things in, what order. Mm-hmm. I know when I need to work on my weaknesses and how much I need to work on my weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And then my strength, I know how fast I can get those back. Mm-hmm. So after the qualifier, I just started doing my own thing. And then 2016 games came and it's like, it was phenomenal. Super surprised myself, especially the first workout. Mm-hmm. It was that real long chipper.
Okay.
80 double unders, the rope climb, the wall, 80 wall balls, the deadlifts, and
nice long one.
GHD. Yeah, super long. And I thought I wanted to be top 10. Mm-hmm. I was hoping to get 10th place or better. Mm-hmm. And I win that. And
great way to kick it off.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, something's working, And I think I had figured out the rest recovery thing too before this 2016 games. And so I went in more refreshed, more recovered.
Okay.
And I think that was super, super helpful.
And by that, do you mean in terms of volume of training and taking days off or what
yeah,
do you mean by
volume
rest
of training?
Recovery?
And also, I mean, it's probably a good time to talk about Whoop.
Yeah.
And this got introduced, I think it was 2017, so not till after the qualifier, during the qualifier, 2017. So I had already figured out some of the recovery thing for the 2016 games, but this just kind of took it to another level.
Okay.
So I was able to, and I was experimenting because I was pretty new at it, but AJ Baker from Whoop, I had, in communication with him, ask him questions, whatever, and just getting ready for the games. I was just kind of using it, not as strictly as it says, but it, like AJ said, it's like a guideline.
Mm-hmm. And for those who are listening, who don't know, the Whoop is basically a little heart rate monitor that you wear on your wrist. Looks like a watch.
Yes.
And it collects your heart rate and heart rate variability.
Yes.
And sleep data and kind of gives you a guideline on how your recovery is doing based on your heart rate variability,
exactly.
amount of time you sleep, how you feel.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. So it's giving you it takes like 100 readings a second, something like that. Mm-hmm. And the biggest one is they're measuring your HRV during your deepest sleep. Mm-hmm. And that's apparently the most accurate. So, and then it gives you your recovery like every day.
Oh man, and yours not so good today.
Yeah, I know. It's like this week is pretty, it's like, I just got back from this trip, 3 weeks
change.
Of 9 hours difference.
That's
and I'm thinking, I think it's that, I'm just going to attribute it to that, but it's definitely a warning. So there were 3 reds this week.
Yeah.
And
so
I'm
how
not
did
in the
you,
green,
how
so.
Did you start to use this to then change what you were doing with your training or your recovery?
I think I was just paying more attention and also paying attention more to my sleep cycles.
Okay.
And so this will also give me, how much sleep I've had. Mm-hmm. So it'll tell you how much REM sleep, how much deep sleep. And so I would look at that in some ways it was encouraging because I'm not a great sleeper and I tend to wake up mm-hmm. early and not mm-hmm. get back to sleep, which has just been another, another test
right.
in life, you know, over the years. And, but where fitness has really helped to, mm-hmm. to deal with that whole thing. But I started paying attention more to that. And it was somewhat encouraging because, like, even though I thought I didn't get as much sleep, it's like my Whoop was saying, you still had an hour of deep sleep or mm-hmm. 45 minutes of deep sleep and an hour of REM or mm-hmm. 30 minutes of REM or whatever. And so it's like, okay, this is good news. And then I started like, okay, well, if I just need some more sleep, maybe I'll take a nap mm-hmm. more. Mm-hmm. And so I used to take naps like on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And to get ready for the work week and all that stuff, because I knew Monday morning was going to hit hard. and so I just started taking more naps. Oh. And so sometimes I have 2 days where I'm driving an hour to work. Mm-hmm. And on the way home, sometimes it's 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, I'm getting tired. It's like, I'm not going to fool around with this. I'm going to pull over and mm-hmm. take a nap. Mm-hmm. And so I'll take a power nap for 20 minutes or 30 minutes or something.
Wow, yeah.
And then I've noticed when I do that, I'm looking at my Whoop and I'm seeing mm-hmm. how that affects my recovery mm-hmm. positively. Mm-hmm. And so I've just been, that's kind of one of the biggest things on that.
That's great.
And then the other thing was for the 17 games, I was able to, I was just kind of still learning it, mm-hmm. but I timed it perfectly. Whereas when I went into the day one for that swim, run, swim, mm-hmm. I was at 98% recovery. Wow. And I don't exactly know how I did it, but I just kind of like, I thought through it and mm-hmm. I kind of listened to my body mm-hmm. and rested, recovered, you know, did the nap thing, mm-hmm. you know, modified my training depending on what my Whoop was saying, mm-hmm. worked. And so it just kind of, so I was 98% and then it slowly just trickled down mm-hmm. over those 4 days. Mm-hmm. And so it was, I think it was a very valuable asset to have.
That's true. I think a lot of this data, now there's so many different ways that we can collect data on ourselves, but
yeah.
you know, what data is actually useful and is going to help us yeah. make positive
yeah,
changes.
For sure.
And it sounds like that has been very helpful for you to
yeah.
use that as kind of your indicator when you're making all these different yeah. changes mm-hmm. with your sleep, with your training.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
To know if it's actually helping you or
yeah.
or not.
Yeah. And how about Dave Castro giving us 4 days to the Masters?
Yeah.
Like for me,
that's a big deal.
Like I don't think people realize the impact or the significance of that, but I did. It's like it's hard enough to manage 3 days
right.
of, it's not so much the workouts, it's the sleep at night.
Right.
And so to give us 4 days, it just like is just another one of his things
lot.
That he concocted
right.
and came up with in his genius mind to try and break us.
Yeah.
And so it's good stuff. But yeah, but amazing. And the test, the wide range this year yeah. for the Masters, you know, from that, you know, the swim, run, swim to yeah. the dumbbell snatches and then the rope climb, you know, is all there. It's great.
I'm sure it's just going to keep getting more and more exciting as they get used to
yeah,
this new venue
yeah,
and
yeah.
are able to work in different types of events.
Yeah, for sure. Week. Yeah, I'm hoping so.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I like it. It's becoming more and more CrossFit. I think adding the teens mm-hmm. and then having similarities with the workouts mm-hmm. kind of made the Masters more, more true CrossFit, mm-hmm. I think. And so I think we're evolving in that direction. I love it.
Yeah, it's
the
exciting.
More CrossFit, the better. I love it.
I'm excited
so,
to watch.
Yeah.
What other things do you find to be helpful as a Masters athlete? I get this question all the time from listeners that want to hear from Masters athletes about recovery, injury prevention. Are there things that you do that, you know, when you talk to Heather, you talk to other younger athletes that you think you do differently or that help you in a different way when it comes to recovery or injury prevention?
Yeah. You know, I think definitely listening to your body. Mm-hmm. I mean, wasn't it Ron Ortiz that said, listen to your body when it's mm-hmm. whispering mm-hmm. before it starts yelling?
That's
you know,
great.
I thought that was a great concept. So I think that's a big part. I think that's what I started doing, like listening mm-hmm. To what my body was saying. And if it's hurting, there's a reason why mm-hmm. and you need to back off.
Mm-hmm.
And then just testing. What does it take for you to maintain that strength without, you know, you're pushing the envelope, mm-hmm. but not overtraining.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a balance. And I think we have to respect our bodies mm-hmm. and we respect our age mm-hmm. and our limitations and that kind of thing. So, I think it's just it's an individual thing, but I think just mainly it's just listening to what your body's telling you.
Those are wise words from someone who's probably had many injuries that have now you kind of learned when to listen and how to listen. How about nutrition? Let's talk about nutrition for a minute. How has your nutrition evolved since you've started CrossFit, and what's your approach right now?
Yeah, when I was doing triathlons, so right before I started CrossFit, I think I was doing a lot of grains, like whole wheat pancakes, and I would have fruit for breakfast, and then I'd have some heavy grains for lunch, and it's like, I go to the CrossFit gym, and all these guys are doing spinach with eggs every morning. It's like, okay, let me try that, and I just fell in love with it, and it just started working for me. So I'd have these guys, and these are just two arm. One is the owner, Cole, and the other was Chris. And that's what they were doing every morning for breakfast. So it's like a big plate of raw spinach, and they just put four eggs on there. So, and they were big guys, like 200 pounds, 190 pounds, whatever. So I had three eggs on a bed of spinach. And then I eventually added avocado. And then I transitioned from that to, I ran out of eggs, and so it's like, I just need proteins. Let me grab some steak. You know, there's steak. This is for breakfast. And I tried that for a week, and it's like, I've not gone back from that ever since then. For some reason, my system just seemed to work much better, you know, with that over the eggs.
Do you still eat eggs now or not?
On occasion, but I don't use I don't have the yolk. I just have the whites, which is where the perfect protein is anyway. So yeah, so I'm pretty strict paleo. So that's my breakfast, and most of the time it's my lunch also. And then for dinner, I'll make sure I have broccoli, asparagus, kale. I'll try and introduce kale because I try and go with the most nutrient dense foods. And then let's see, kale. And then in fact, it might be a good time to talk about Inside Tracker.
Sure.
Inside Tracker picked me up, sponsored me this right before the Open. This year, and I reached out to them, and they immediately responded, and so they tested my blood before the Open, and then after the Open, and everything looked good, but there was a couple things we had to tweak. And so one of the things was needing more fish, so I'm adding salmon, and I'm trying to get, my goal is three times a week. So that's been a change.
Kind of. And do you take any type of supplement, like fish oil supplement too, or just have you just been doing the salmon?
I take six a day. So I'll take three in the morning and three in the afternoon. Fish oil. So I've been doing that for a couple of years, and I think this year is the year. I think maybe it was like four a day. Now I'm just doing, I'm doing six a day. Because I think it's that valuable, just making sure. And that was kind of based on that Inside Tractor stuff also. But everything else, there was a couple, I was low in iron. They thought it was just a transient thing, and that was better the next time. Vitamin D was okay. B12, I was low in B12. So Inside Tracker has been awesome. It's a great, you know, if you, for those of people that don't know Inside Tracker, it's a blood test for athletes. And they do, just a comprehensive blood test for your, to kind of evaluate where your nutrition's at. And also it actually monitors whether you're overstressed as well. Which, you know, in my case, I've got a little stress going on.
Yeah. But they do a great job. All of their recommendations are how you can change your diet, or, you know, maybe use supplements when needed, but it's all very evidence-based. They have the research studies right there that you can look up if you want to know. So it's a great platform.
In fact, interestingly enough, right before I went on the cruise, and so one of my jobs on the cruise ship was to give a lecture on nutrition and fitness, or on basically on fitness. And in fact, the title of it was How to Grow Fitter, Not Older.
Oh, I love it.
So I had, and John, my son John helped me get a slideshow together. So I had the slideshow, and I used Inside Tracker's article. In fact, Ben Bergeron wrote the article.
And that was a great article in the CrossFit Journal just recently.
So basically the conclusion for those who haven't read it yet, but it's a great article, is that CrossFit athletes were more fit. Their biomarkers, their blood biomarkers were healthier than even the athletes who were training doing other, because you figure their clientele is athletes.
They're all fit.
They're all fit. And so, but CrossFit by and large was better, healthier So it wasn't just about fitness, it was overall health. So the HDL was higher, the LDL was lower, and then I think it's the HSCRP, which is the total body inflammation, right? And you know more about that than I do. But that was the other thing that was super low in CrossFitters. So yeah, so like it just
it's
really
great to see that data coming.
Yeah, just kind of reinforces like the journey that I'm on, and and that's when and kind of when I watched your podcast and kind of reached out to you and stuff, it was just that's what you're talking about. It's like this is amazing, and it's like super important. Cause and then hearing Greg, you know, Greg Glassman talk about. You know, the most vexing problem is chronic disease.
Yeah.
It's like what a platform we have and what a answer we have for a tsunami, he calls it, right?
It is a tsunami.
And that's why it's like, well, functional fitness, I got to get up here. I want to talk to you in person. I want to talk about functional because that's a huge interest. Yeah.
It's awesome. So
super valuable.
So mostly paleo. Do you eat, what kind of carbohydrates do you eat other than vegetables? Any, or what is your sort of carbohydrate?
So one of the things that Inside Tracker told me to do is to have more oatmeal.
Okay.
And so I've been doing that, and I need to be more faithful on doing that. I just tend to like have my meat and but to answer your question, sweet potatoes, sometimes rice. But mostly sweet potatoes, sometimes regular potatoes, and then oatmeal. I try to get oatmeal in once a day, twice a day sometimes.
Okay.
I need to get more consistent about that, but that's super important.
Interesting.
In fact, I just listened to your podcast, Against Gravity. I'm kind of reaching out to them to see if they want to help me. Yeah,
they're great. Great.
Yeah.
Have you ever tracked your macro
I've never counted,
intake
no.
or anything?
No. I don't know if that'd be the greatest thing for me or not. I'm kind of like scared of like, oh my gosh, I like to eat whatever I want, whenever I want.
Right.
But I'm very disciplined in what I eat though,
it
what I choose
like
to eat. It
sounds like you are very disciplined. Yeah. It's just another layer of discipline. Yeah.
But the other thing, just in addition to, you asked me about other carbs, but I do snack on, cashews and almonds all day long. So in fact, even on the way up here, I had it on the plane and then I had it on the car on the way here, and
great snack.
I'm probably going to take a break here and get some, but yeah, cashews and almonds because it's a really good source of good fat. It's got protein and it's got the carbs in it too.
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you take any other supplements other than fish oil, or have you found anything to be helpful?
Yeah. Vitamin D for sure. And then I'm taking a multivitamin right now. And then, I'm taking, the other thing that Inside Tracker recommended is a probiotic. I've been taking different probiotics, you know, just trying, cause I know it's super important. That's the whole, functional medicine is foundational is the probiotics,
the
right?
Gut, yeah.
The gut. Yeah. So Clean Athlete, I think is the name of it. KLEEN. Okay. But they Inside Tracker, I think it was, Jonathan, introduced me to that. He said that's what he takes, and that's been great. So that's for sure. I take that every morning. Vitamin D and multivitamin, and then the fish oil. And then I am taking Marcus Philly's Revive RX.
Okay.
They've been sponsoring me for the last 2 years. They were sponsored in Heather, and then I kind of got on that also. And so they give me my protein. And so I'll have that at least twice a day. So in the morning. And
you do
then
like a protein shake in the morning?
I do, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I started doing that on a regular basis.
Do you
basis.
Put anything else in it?
No. I do put it in almond milk. And the one thing I was noticing, because, you know, if you listen to Glassman, he says no sugar or very little. I think no sugar, right?
No sugar. Yeah.
So I realized that it's like, am I getting any sugar? And it's like my almond milk had sugar in it.
Oh,
it's
sweetened.
Like, I gotta cut that out. So, I've got mostly unsweetened now.
Okay.
But I had the one in between for a little while. I think that's what I had this morning, but I'm transitioning to the
and it's in fact
the Revive RX, I'll put the Recover in there.
Yeah.
And I guess that has maybe a little bit, sweetener in it. But it's good. I think it's stevia.
Okay.
But it's great stuff and I love it. So, it's just great to have their support. I mean, all these, you know, Inside Tracker, Whoop, Comp Train Masters. Yeah. I mean, Dan DeLama's my coach.
That's awesome.
And just great to have the people that believe in you.
Yeah.
And know that you can do it. I mean, because they were there. You know, some of them came after I won, but it's like they continue to believe in me. It's just really cool.
That's awesome.
Super, yeah.
And we had talked a little bit earlier about the evolution of your training. So when did you start working? You said kind of you do your own programming, kind of know what you need to do now. But when did you start working with Comtrain Masters and how did that evolve?
Yeah, so that happened, I think it was before the 2017 games. Because I reached out to Ben because I, you know, it's like you can't not notice Matt Frazier. You just can't. And it's
kind
like,
of impossible.
How did he do that? How did he set himself so far above? So I kind of just sent any, you know, Heather knew Ben Bergeron just because she's met him a couple times. And I said, how do I reach out to him? He says, just here's his email, get his email for you. And so I emailed him and he emailed me right back.
That's so great.
And I said, I was interested in, you know, just some coaching ideas. You know, I knew he was focused on his coaches or his athletes that, you know, as individuals that were, he was coaching. So I just thought, well, you know, is there anything kind of give me advice? Mm-hmm. And he immediately got me in touch with Harry Paley and Dan DeLamba. They're the head coaches at Comtrain or at North CrossFit New England. Mm-hmm. And they head up the Masters Comtrain.
Okay.
And so I immediately kind of hit it off with Dan DeLamba. Mm-hmm. And he was like my assigned coach.
That's
and
amazing.
Just like, they just like supported me.
That's so
and
great.
What's so cool about Dan is that he totally respected what I had already accomplished. Mm-hmm. He had already won the games but the year before, and he didn't want to change a whole lot of things. He said, what you're doing is working. Let's just keep an eye on things, which was just super awesome.
That's
and
great.
And so I would introduce or I would infiltrate some of the Comtrain programming because I love it. It's great stuff for any of you masters out there looking for a program. You know, Comtrain Masters is phenomenal. And so I was doing some of those workouts along with my own programming. And then I would just like give all my workouts to Dan and he would just like put them on a Google spreadsheet and then we talk about it and then we just get caught up every so often.
That's great.
And then it was actually 2017 was the first year I actually had a coach for the games.
And that's so amazing after competing for so many years.
Yeah, so even 2016 I didn't have a coach. Actually my buddy Del LaFountain for the last day, he actually coached me through the last day. It was really kind of cool to have a coach that's like, okay, let's go out here again because we're in, you know, we're in the warm-up area and it's like, okay, I want you to do this. It's like he told me exactly what to do. So it was kind of cool to have that. So
it seems like a little thing, but it makes such a difference.
Yeah.
Just to take that extra pressure off of you to have to decide what to do next or when to warm up or what, you know, you have someone who's kind of keeping their eye on things, timeline, and
knows not to overdo it,
right?
But knows not to underdo it, you know, train you either. So,
awesome.
So,
what advice do you have to other aspiring masters competitors?
You know, I think number one thing is like we're here to get in the best shape of your life, and it's about health. So don't ever compromise that. You know, eat healthy, do healthy things, you know, have healthy relationships but work hard at training. You know, it's the constantly varied high intensity functional movements. You cannot compromise that. You got to have that intensity. And most masters do if they're into CrossFit and they're, you know, they're doing it.
Right.
But following, you know, those guidelines, you know, super important. And I think just, listening to your body again.
Has your approach changed at all? And how has it been different going from the upper end of an age category now into the 60 plus category, which has no end?
Yeah.
How do you
that? It's sad in some ways because it's like I know like the end is coming at some point.
But maybe, you know, there'll be a new category.
Maybe,
someday.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I've always had trouble with the whole. I always never wanted to age. You know, I like Neverland, and you know, growing up, it's like I'm just a kid at heart still, and just super excited about life and. And I just want it to be that way. And so CrossFit has kind of given me a second wind because it's like, wow, you know, it's like I can still do things at age 60 that, keep me young and give me goals and competition. And so it's kind of like it's eased the pain of aging to a sense. You know, it's like we all love being young, I think. And I know I do. And I, you know, birthdays were like, I don't want another birthday. I do it every 2 years, you know, right. It's like, it's better that way. But
my mom always says that she's turning 30. She's been turning 30 for the last 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's right. I'm 29.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's kind of eased that, that whole transition. And so I'm just hoping, you know, I'm really committed to that whole, metabolic adaptation to, you know, because I really believe that that article was huge, that Inside Tracker article mm-hmm. that Ben wrote, and you know, on keeping ourselves young, you know, mm-hmm. keep the biomarkers young, keep the blood young, mm-hmm. and you're going to stay younger longer.
That's
huge.
True.
Yeah.
What about advice that you would give to someone maybe who's not an athlete, who hasn't been an athlete their whole life, but they're mm-hmm. master's age, maybe they're in their 40s or 50s and they're intimidated by CrossFit?
Yeah, I think they just gotta do it. They just gotta find the right gym, because there are some great gyms out there, mm-hmm. And great coaches that aren't going to get you in a position where you're going to get hurt mm-hmm. too soon, you know, because I think early on maybe there was some of that, and there's probably still some of that out there, but there's just some phenomenal gyms out there, phenomenal mm-hmm. coaches. Most of them are, I think, and I think they need to give it a try. They need to give it a try, and they need to at least give it, you know, go for 1 week and then go to your next week, and you're going to be sore, but you just got to remind yourself of the facts. Physiologically, we are benefiting from high intensity mm-hmm. functional movements constantly varied. That it's a biological fact. Mm-hmm. And so we just have to embrace that and not pretend that doesn't exist, that it's not there, and just really go for it and just believe that that's right. And if you have doubts, you know, just do the research mm-hmm. And you'll find the same conclusion. Mm-hmm. So I think they need to give it a try, and they need to persevere mm-hmm. and get into that community, because the magic of CrossFit is the community to encourage you to keep going.
It's so true.
They get behind you, it's amazing. Yeah.
And remembering that again, it is relative, the intensity. And when you start, it's not going to be the same as someone who's been doing it forever. And you can start in baby steps. You don't have to necessarily be an athlete or be fit to start. But getting, I think, like you nailed it on the head at the end there, getting into that community, because once you start, it's going to be hard. You're going to be really sore. But if you have those mm-hmm. people who are there cheering you on, it'll be a lot easier. And like you said, once you get into it and it's part of your routine,
yeah, for sure.
You're going to be so glad that you did.
For sure. Yeah.
And then you mentioned earlier you've been sort of interested in functional medicine, kind of using it in your dentistry practice. So I'm just curious about how that interest started, and then how you're using it, or how you've helped use it to inform your own training or health or recovery.
Functional. So that's a great story. After the 2016 games mm-hmm. and winning that, I came back and it's like, I wonder if I'm really healthy on the inside. So it's crazy. It's like, I wonder, it's like I'm fittest in the world at 60.
I wonder,
and I'm still asking that question, like, okay. So, but actually, you know, and I won, you know, $10,000. So that was cool. And it's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use that. And I'm going to go to, there's a functional medicine clinic nearby.
Oh, interesting.
And it's like, I'm going to go there. I'm kind of like do an overall health evaluation. Just kind of see how my gut's doing. Yeah. Like see if, you know, cause I know that's where functional medicine begins. Like mm-hmm. that's the foundation, right? So it's like, I want to get tested on all the tests that they do. Mm-hmm. And kind of see if I'm healthy. Mm-hmm. And you know, cause that's just my commitment.
Just curious. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm dedicated to that. And so that kind of, and I've been reading about functional medicine and knowing like that sure does make sense. Mm-hmm. And I've been in medicine, you know, a medical field, not medicine, but medical field for mm-hmm. 30 years. It's like, I see the importance and the role that mm-hmm. prevention plays in dentistry. Obviously, how much more important is it in our overall health? And so, you know, and also there's that whole thing of the oral systemic connection that we study in dentistry mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. And super important to have a healthy mouth, healthy body mm-hmm. type thing. All those connections, all those things kind of led to my interest in functional medicine. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, and what better way to learn more about it than to have your have yourself tested and all that stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so I went to Maxwell Clinic, which is right around the corner, mm-hmm. and just got to know them and just got some tests and that kind of thing. And, mm-hmm. and, everything looked good. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of, tweaks with, getting better. There was probably some inflammation and probably some deficiencies in gut bacteria mm-hmm. that I needed to address. So I worked on that. Mm-hmm. And so that was my mm-hmm. kind of segue into, functional medicine.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, it's true that I agree. I feel like it just makes so much sense to think about health mm-hmm. in that way of not, you know, what are these symptoms and how can we fix them? And like you're seeing this in dentistry too, you know, these symptoms of maybe the poor diet or sugar or
how it manifests,
you know,
yep.
how mm-hmm. that manifests. And suddenly, you know, let's address these root causes instead of just covering up the symptoms or fixing the problems.
Yeah. That's why I'm thrilled to know that Cleveland Clinic is moving in that direction. I mean, I don't know if their whole is moving in that direction, but obviously they are devoting like,
a huge amount
of
resources.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's very exciting.
Yeah.
Because
who's the guy that you interviewed? Mark
Dr. Hyman.
Yeah, Dr. Hyman. Yeah. So he was one of the guys. So I have a good friend who's a medical doctor, Scott Brown, who I'd known ever since he was in medical school. Mm-hmm. Super bright guy, but he's kind of on that somewhat of a journey. I always am talking to him about mm-hmm. functional medicine, and he's moving in that direction mm-hmm. some. And the last conversation I had was he mentioned Mark Hyman, mm-hmm. and I'd already known him through like the Daniel Plan that he did with that church out mm-hmm. Saddleback Community. Mm-hmm. Rick Warren's church. Which is another phenomenal, need and ministry that needs to happen in
Absolutely.
All the churches
it's
worldwide.
And for people listening, that was basically a health intervention in this Saddleback church where they had, I don't know how many thousands of small groups that meet every week in there for Bible studies.
Yes.
And they basically implemented these, lifestyle changes, diet changes, and helped people use their community and their faith to make these lifestyle changes and ended up helping people really turn their lives around, lose a lot of weight, become a lot healthier.
Invaluable.
So it's so true. It's just using that same principle that we use in the affiliate of how can we get people and communities together.
Yeah.
It's so much more powerful when it comes to making these changes.
Yep, exactly.
I want to finish with three questions I ask everyone on the podcast.
Okay.
So I'm sure you've heard them before.
I've heard them,
The first one is the three things you do on a regular basis that have the biggest positive impact on your health.
You know, I think just training. I mean, it's definitely
sounds like
training and making that decision when you don't. I do feel like training most of the time. Mm-hmm. Like I really look forward to Saturdays and getting the whole day to mm-hmm. just go to the gym and hang out and do my own thing. So that definitely training, but there are those days where it's like, you know, it's like, I'm going to do this, but it's like, I'm not. Yeah.
It.
But once you get going, you're fine. Mm-hmm. But it's surreal. I mean, it's just like, I want to make sure that everybody understands mm-hmm. that it's like, it's a battle mm-hmm. to make that choice. Mm-hmm. Every day, and it's important, but it's mm-hmm. important and always worth it. Second thing is probably nutrition, mm-hmm. obviously. You know, making the choice to eat really well mm-hmm. and to love that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, I just do love, I think because my taste buds aren't spoiled mm-hmm. by too much bad food, mm-hmm. You know, sugar and all that stuff, so I don't really crave it. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, those two things, of course. And then, you know, probably just having, you know, staying in touch with my family and with God, I think is super important, super valuable. So I wouldn't trade that.
I love that.
You know,
what about one thing that you're working on that you think would have a big impact on your health, but you have a hard time implementing it?
I do want to get a better nighttime routine of what I eat at nighttime. Because sometimes I will, like when I have crackers mm-hmm. or something.
Some nighttime cravings.
Yeah.
That's what I find is just a matter of what you keep in the house, right?
Yeah,
it's not
right.
There,
yeah,
you can't
yeah. So a lot of times I'll resort to, but I like something crunchy.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, because I snack on cashews and almonds all day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so I'll have like rice cakes with almond butter mm-hmm. on them sometimes. But, or carrots is another good mm-hmm. go-to meal, but, Every once in a while, I'll have cereal, mm-hmm. but you know, good cereal,
yeah,
not bad cereal, granola, yeah. something like that.
Dirty little secret.
Yeah, yeah, right. But I'm working on like not craving anything that's not. I'm trying to think what I've binged on. You know, I love pizza.
Oh yes.
But I only have it like I've really been disciplined. Like I'll have it once every 3 or 6 months.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's very impressive.
But like I remember after the games last year, mm-hmm. I went right to the last day we all went out and we went to the closest restaurant and had a burger with, you know, lettuce, tomato and ketchup and French fries and then pizza the next night.
And how did you feel afterwards?
Great. It actually does. I actually can eat whatever I want. I don't feel any different.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I just know my system works better when I have.
Wow. That's very disciplined of you then to not even have the negative reinforcement of feeling awful the next day.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right. Yep.
That's great.
Yep.
All right. My last question is, what does a healthy life look like to you?
Healthy life. I think it is characterized by just wanting to be healthy. Mm-hmm. You got to make that choice. Like, remember Ben Bergeron had that lecture one time and you know, the people up here were the ones that were choosing to mm-hmm. be healthy. Then there was ones that, that are doing healthy things, but they just don't know what they don't know. Mm-hmm. And so a healthy life looks like, first of all, you got to want to be healthy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting because I came up here and was like, I was going to tell you. And one of the reasons I made an effort to fly up here is like, I like to be around people where I don't feel like I'm either from the future or from a different planet.
It's so
and
true.
I knew that you would be one of those people. Like, I feel like, okay, we're either both from another planet or from the future or, you know, we're normal, you know.
That's
like,
a beautiful thing about CrossFit, right? You know that you're going to get each other when you walk into the gym.
Because I feel like that a lot of times is like, why am I so, and it's not an obsession, although if it is an obsession, it's a very healthy obsession. Mm-hmm. In fact, that might be similar to my book title when I get to it, because it's like, we're all addicted to water. Mm-hmm. We need water. We're addicted to oxygen, right? We don't, we go through withdrawal. Exactly. We're addicted to, we need hope, but we also need exercise. Mm-hmm. We need good nutrition. And if we don't have that, we suffer consequences.
That's true.
Either moving in a direction of health or chronic disease. There's no like in between.
I love that.
Yeah. And the older we get, the more important it is to keep moving, you know, the more effort it takes to move in that direction and stay moving in that direction. So that's kind of what a healthy life looks like, moving in the direction away from chronic disease and towards health.
I love that.
So
that continuum.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
That's beautiful. Yep. It's a great place to end it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining
me.
This has been awesome.
Yeah.
This has been wonderful. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. For me, it was very interesting to hear about Dave's perspective. Even though he's obviously a very high-level competitor, he still keeps front of mind the real purpose for his training and competition, and that is health and longevity. It's often hard to keep longevity in the front of our minds when we're making decisions in our daily lives, and it's very tempting to want to make decisions that will give us immediate pleasure or results. How do you think you would approach your training or your daily life differently if your goal was longevity and lifelong health? Tell us about it on social media using hashtag Pursuing Health. To make sure you never miss an episode and to receive exclusive content from me, head to my website, juliefouché.com, and subscribe to my email list. If you like what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and consider giving the podcast a 5-star rating on iTunes. Also, don't forget to share your stories. If you or someone you know has used lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send me an email at info@juliefouché.com. I'll choose some of these inspiring stories to share here on future episodes. Don't forget you can train with me through Beyond the Whiteboard by visiting trainwithjuliefouché.com. Thank you again so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time on Pursuing Health. This episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. ButcherBox delivers 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage breed pork directly to your doorstep. Now, I think meat can have a place in a well-rounded diet, but there is a huge, huge difference when it comes to animals raised in feedlots that are fed primarily corn and soy and routinely given growth hormones and antibiotics, and those that are responsibly raised, fed their natural diet, and never given growth hormones or antibiotics. ButcherBox gives me some peace of mind, knowing that I can trust my meat is the highest quality out there and that it will taste amazing. They allow you to order curated or custom boxes of meat, and they always come with recipe ideas for you to explore. My husband Danny and I are super excited about firing up our backyard grill this summer to enjoy our ButcherBox selections with tons of vegetables from our local CSA. And you can join us. ButcherBox is extending an awesome offer to you for listening to Pursuing Health. Just head to butcherbox.com/Julie for $20 off your order, plus a free order of their delicious bacon. Again, that's butcherbox.com/Julie. Hope you can check it out and that it makes your life a little bit easier, just as it has done for us. This episode is brought to you by Mobility Wad. Do you struggle to get into good positions in your training and workouts? Are your movement compensations causing you undue pain and grief? MWOD's belief is that every human being should be able to perform basic maintenance on themselves. For nearly 10 years, Mobility Wad has been the go-to for the world's best athletes and teams. Do you know what hundreds of Olympic and world-class athletes, professional teams in the NFL, MLB, basketball, hockey, rugby, and soccer, and dozens of universities all have in common? They use Mobility Wad to train and compete at their best. I first took Dr. Kelly Starrett's movement and mobility course in 2013, and since then have read his books and followed his videos for ideas on how to address my own movement restrictions. But sometimes having all this information can become overwhelming, which is why I think the real genius is in the MWOD subscription. As part of this subscription, you have access to not only hundreds of hours of video content that can be filtered based on your specific questions, but also a daily 10-minute Mobility WOD video. You just log in and follow Kelly's instructions as if he is there coaching you in person for 10 minutes per day. You may pick up certain exercises that you wish to incorporate on a regular basis before or after your workouts. But at the very least, by following this daily program, you know you are addressing a wide range of movement patterns and body parts on a regular basis without having to think about it. I often do these sessions first thing in the morning or before bed as a way to wind down from the day. In addition, you have access to an on-ramp sequence and a 14-day mobility challenge that helps you understand the basics and identify the areas you personally need to focus on. You can lean on the MWOD community and discussion boards to learn from others who have been through similar situations or injuries. And if you need more personalized help, you can use the MWOD list to find a like-minded practitioner in your area. It's easy to become part of the Mobility WOD community, but for being a Pursuing Health listener, you can receive 20% off an annual membership with code Julie Fouché. That's JulieFoucher. Just visit www.mobilitywad.com. Full potential, full power.